This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
What an intriguing Super Bowl that also managed to be absolutely awful. Let me explain what I mean. I think the number one takeaway we are going to have when all is said and done years from now about this Super Bowl is that Tom Brady got his sixth championship. Now, maybe Brady's going to go on and win his seventh championship. But for now, I think we have created the number one debate for the next decade in sports media. And that debate is going to be whether or not Tom Brady or Michael Jordan is the greatest team sport athlete of their eras. Now, some of you out there are going to be difficult. You're going to say, what about Bill Russell? He's got 10 rings, whatever it is. It's a different era. You're playing in a 10-team NBA. There's not the same level of competition. Bill Russell was never the best player in the league. That was Wilt Chamberlain. This, I think, is a really interesting debate that is going to go on for years and years to come, unless Brady goes out and wins another Super Bowl and gets to seven. If you don't believe me, I put up the poll question last night, 7 hours ago. Who is the greatest team sport athlete, Tom Brady or Michael Jordan? With 45,000 votes in, you guys are exactly even. 50% of you saying Tom Brady, 50% of you saying Michael Jordan. You can go vote on that on my Twitter account, at Clay Travis. But we'll unpack that in the days, the weeks, the months to come. That, however, remains the most significant outcome, I believe, of one of the worst, if not the worst, from a pure entertainment perspective, Super Bowl of my lifetime. On top of that, I believe what else will be remembered about this season is people may forget the exact year, but I think the non-call on the pass interference penalty at the end of the Rams-Saints game is going to continue to loom over this season. I think people will remember as much about that non-call as they did about this game. And I believe where we got cheated, clearly the Saints should have been in this Super Bowl. But where we got cheated was Jared Goff was not up to the challenge of being in this Super Bowl going head-to-head with Bill Belichick having 2 weeks to prepare. He just wasn't. And I know Sean McVay took a blame for getting out-coached, and I think we have audio of that. Let's play Sean McVay saying he got out-coached.
I'm pretty numb right now, but definitely I got out-coached, and I didn't do nearly good enough for a football team. You know, the thing that's so tough about all of this is that, you know, the finality to it. You know, usually when you get a chance, if you go through some adversity, you can bounce back right away. This one's going to stick with you and just stings in your gut. And like I said, I'm still kind of numb right now, but I have so much love for these players and these coaches, and that's where, you know, it eats at you because you feel like you didn't do your part to help them.
Okay, that's Sean McVay, and that's a straight-up response from him to say he got out-coached. I think certainly he did not get Jared Goff to play well, but I think Jared Goff was a disaster out there on the field. He missed a lot of throws. The interception he threw on the final drive, the final time that the Rams were going to have the football, was just an atrocious decision. And I think time after time, when he had chances to make plays, he couldn't do it. He had a man streaking down the center of the field. Credit to McCourty for getting over there and making a play on the ball. That should have been a touchdown. He waited too long to throw the ball. There were a lot of things that Jared Goff, when he goes back and watches this film, will recognize that he was just fooled on, that he didn't make the throw in time. Now, Brandon Cooks dropped a pass that was a pretty good throw that maybe he should have caught, but the interception was just a disaster, an awful decision by Jared Goff. Why do I say we got cheated? Because I don't think Drew Brees would have been confused like this. Drew Brees might not have played great, and he ultimately may not have won this game for the Saints, but I don't think that given how many games he's played in, Bill Belichick would have been capable of coming out and completely confusing him like we saw from Jared Goff. Having said all that, the Patriots did what the Patriots have done for most of the Brady Belichick era. They found a way to win. They found a way to win because Tom Brady willed them to victory. This is a crazy stat. Tom Brady now has won 6 Super Bowls. In all 6, he has led a game-winning drive in the fourth quarter or overtime. I want you to hear that again because it is such a remarkable statistic. In all 6 Super Bowls that he has won, Tom Brady has led a game-winning drive in the fourth quarter or overtime. That is, beyond a shadow of a doubt, improbable, incredible, the kind of data point that makes you sit back and just raise your eyebrows. This 10-point victory is the most that any one of the Super Bowls has been won by the Patriots. Every other one was a one-score game, including the ones that they lost. This was, I think, again, just a major statement for Tom Brady's long-term legacy in the aspect of getting to 6 overall wins. What else did we have? We had what I believe was an incredible performance by Julian Edelman that won him the Super Bowl MVP. He was flat out uncoverable. Now, I know some people out there are fired up about the fact that Julian Edelman had a 4-game suspension for PEDs to start the season, but that's football. There are lots of guys, for whatever reason, in baseball, we spend the rest of their career questioning how this guy could ever end up using PEDs. In football, we don't even blink. And as a result, Edelman was uncoverable on the field. Even though the Patriots don't have a lot of offensive weapons in the wide receiving game, there was almost no one else who even caught a pass as a wide receiver for the New England Patriots. You knew where Brady was going. You knew what he was going to do. And I think when you look at the overall stats in this game, that makes Edelman's performance all the more impressive. Guys, receiving yards. Obviously, Gronkowski made a couple of plays. Cordarrelle Patterson was the only other wide receiver for the New England Patriots to make a catch. Cordarrelle Patterson had 2 catches for 14 yards. Julian Edelman was the only other wide receiver out there on the field making plays for the Patriots. He had 10 catches for 141 yards. The rest of the Patriots wide receivers combined for 14 yards receiving. You knew where Brady was going to try to go with the football, and he was still able to get open. Julian Edelman was. Rob Gronkowski, late, big-time playmaker. That catch to set up the only touchdown of the game was extraordinary. Great catch, great throw by Brady. Ultimately, this was a defensive struggle. The Patriots had to make one play, and they did it. The Rams had to make one play, and they never did it at all. I thought also, when you look at this game and you think about the larger context of what it means for the Patriots outside of Tom Brady individually, you could make a strong argument that when you consider the length of time that the Patriots are the greatest dynasty in the history of sports. And really, it's also an interesting question. Does a dynasty require more than 2 guys? Because the only 2 people connected to the Patriots for all 6 Super Bowls are Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And that's why the Jordan versus Brady argument, I think, is so intriguing, because probably the best argument you can make in favor of Jordan is that Jordan was never paired for the entirety of his career with the greatest head coach in the history of the game. Right, when you really break it down, Phil Jackson was very good, but I don't think very many people out there would say he was the greatest coach in the history of the game, whereas I don't think there's any doubt that Bill Belichick is the greatest coach in the history of the game. So all of that conspiring, this will be a great debate for years to come Also, Jordan people right now are out there saying, well, you know, Jordan, he was 6-0 in the finals. But I don't think that's a fair argument, because do you really punish a guy for getting to 9 Super Bowls? Would it be better for Tom Brady's legacy if he had never made the other 3 Super Bowls and he had gone 6-0 straight up in the Super Bowl? Maybe, but I think that's lazy thinking, because it would mean that Brady would have had to lose before he got to the Super Bowl, and that all 3 of those losses, for instance, against the Eagles last year, it would have been better for Brady's legacy, if you're making that argument, if the Patriots had lost to Blake Bortles and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Does that make any sense at all when you really break it down in terms of the Brady versus Jordan argument? Jordan lost to the Orlando Magic in the playoffs in the midst of that 6 championship run in 8 years. People forget that he came back early and that he was eliminated in the playoffs, and people forget it because it didn't happen in the NBA Finals. Would it have been better if Brady had managed to lose earlier in the playoffs and not make the Super Bowl before he lost? I don't think so. And again, Brady has won 6 Super Bowls, and he's had a game-winning drive in the fourth quarter or overtime in every one of those games. And you think about Super Bowl titles now, Tom Brady by himself has the same number of titles as the Pittsburgh Steelers have in the history of their franchise. Dallas Cowboys and San Francisco 49ers have 5 each. The Packers and the Giants have 4 each. And the Broncos, the Redskins, and the Raiders have 3 each. One more point that I think is worth discussing. A lot of people out there making the argument that, well, Jared Goff and Sean McVay, they'll be back to the Super Bowl again. Guys, I'm not sure. Other than John Elway, in the modern era, most of the time when a quarterback loses in the Super Bowl, he does not come back and win a Super Bowl again. Now, Jared Goff is very young. He's only 24 years old. And certainly he expects to be back in the Super Bowl one day. And there was the talk that was going on between McVay and Goff there on the field. At the end, you could see McVay whispering to Goff, probably saying something about how, hey, we'll be back again. Great job this season. This is on me, not on you. Don't let this get you down. Most of the time, even when guys are older, they become shells of themselves for a little while, and there's a massive Super Bowl hangover when a guy loses in overtime. And even if you're a relatively young quarterback, that legacy of losing the Super Bowl seems to hang over you. Look at what happened to Cam Newton. I don't know if Cam Newton will ever get back to the Super Bowl, but certainly losing the way the Carolina Panthers did in the Super Bowl seemed to hang over Cam Newton for a while. Look at Matt Ryan after the Falcons gave up the 28-3 lead. To his credit, they got into the playoffs the next year, but that legacy seems to still be kind of hanging over him of burning and losing that game. Look at Steve McNair. Guy quarterbacks the team to within a yard of the Super Bowl, never gets back there again, even though he was relatively young when he got to the Super Bowl then. Most of the time, if you lose your first Super Bowl, you don't come back and end up winning the Super Bowl again. Now, obviously, you can point to John Elway and say, well, Elway did. He lost his first several. But that's the exception rather than the rule. Most of the time, because it's so difficult to make the Super Bowl, a guy gets there, he loses, he doesn't come back and make plays in the years ahead that help to erase the sting of this defeat. I'm going to bring in the crew when we come back. I will also open up the phone lines to allow you guys to react to everything you saw in the Super Bowl. And talk about the halftime show. Thought that was mediocre to bad. We can talk about the commercials, which I thought were also mediocre to bad. I thought in totality, this was as bad of a Super Bowl as we have seen from a pure entertainment perspective in a very long time, if not the worst of my lifetime. Now, it's still the Super Bowl. It was still entertaining. But when my 4-year-old turns to me during the Super Bowl and says, "Dad, can we put on Paw Patrol? It's better." Not necessarily a good sign, because he thought the Super Bowl was so boring and nothing was happening in it that he wanted me to put on Paw Patrol.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis. Weeknights at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who want to say it. I thought the Patriots were dead. I bet against them against the Chargers. I said they would lose. I bet against them against the Chiefs. I said they would lose. I bet against them against the Rams. I said they would lose. I was wrong. It's rare that I admit that I was wrong, but I was wrong. I didn't think the Patriots were very good this year. I still honestly don't think the Patriots were that good this year. They lost to five non-playoff teams. They went 11-5 in the regular season. But you know what? They found a way to win. Thank you, D. Ford, for lining up offsides. You allowed this Patriot dynasty to continue. You allowed Brady to get into the Super Bowl and win the title. And you get Tom Brady close to the Super Bowl, and by and large, he finds a way to win the championship. And one question that was looming out there was what was going to happen with Rob Gronkowski. He addressed that after the game, and we still don't have definitive outcome here. But to me, it sounds a little bit like he's leaning towards making this his final season. But here's that audio.
Tonight, it's about celebrating with my teammates. And that decision will be made in a week or two, you know, down the future. Because tonight, that's what it's about, is celebrating with my teammates. And that's what I'm worried about tonight. We're going to have a good time. Bill told me he's partying tonight. So, you know, it's going to be good.
When Bill Belichick is partying, you know it's going to be good. Let me go to a couple of your calls. Dub, where should I go first?
We got Leo in Vermont.
Leo, what's up? Solid start by the callers. Leo, are you ready to go?
Let's try Kevin in Culver City.
Yeah, Kevin in Culver City. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, what's up, Clay? You know, I make a tradition out of this. Every Super Bowl, I got to give you a call. And, you know, don't get mad at yourself, man. You had the right pick. I was all on the Rams. And, you know, I had such a big bet on this game. I'm talking thousands. I was going to buy Rachel Bonetta a car. So give Rachel my shout-out tomorrow. But, you know, I looked at this game. I said, Jared Goff, 14 points left on the board. The first throw, the overthrow, come on, you got to make that throw. Don't double pump it, and then the interception. That game should have been 14-10 Rams. I'll give Brady the touchdown to Sonny Michel to play to Gronk. But you got to give Wade Phillips credit. That was a great coach game by that defense. I mean, Sean McVay, you're giving Todd Gurley 10 carries in the Super Bowl. You got to look yourself in the mirror and say, hey, did you get it done? Did you get the ball to Gurley to get him 20 to 25 carries? So it was on Goff, but McVay left it on the field. Bill Cowher said that at halftime. That opens up the play action. That's the same thing I said. So, I mean, you know, Sean McVay's got to know how to coach better. To you know, open it up a little bit and not make it so predictable for Belichick.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. I agree with you that when you consider what Wade Phillips did, if you had told Sean McVay before the game, hey, your defense is going to hold the New England Patriots to 13 points, I think he would have said we're going to win by double digits. Because, by the way, the over-under in this game closed at 56 and didn't hit. At least I had the under, so I won something on this Super Bowl. There were only 16 total points. That's the biggest under hit in 30 years of NFL football. The under hit by 40 points. I think if you had told them that's what we're going to do when it comes to the over-under, everybody would have been ecstatic about that, right? You tell Sean McVay that you're going to hold the New England Patriots and Tom Brady in the Super Bowl to 13 points. I think he would have bet every dollar he has that his team was going to find a way to score 14. And I think you're right. Look, the big miss by Jared Goff, that would have changed the game in a big way, had a wide open receiver. And Tony Romo pointed out another big miss by Jared Goff on a deep post, I think it was, or a deep in route. I'm not sure exactly, with about 8 minutes to go on third down and long. Second down and long. I also think the call there on holding was the wrong call. And I don't want to belabor the point on NFL officiating, but Todd Gurley got a big run, if you remember, with about 9 or 10 minutes to go, crossed midfield. The Rams had a 1st and 10, and they called a non-hold to bring back the Ram offense there. I don't understand how you continually have calls that are not egregious. Again, make sure that it's 100% a penalty or let these guys play. There weren't a lot of fouls called, but there were still a lot of missed calls. And I don't get that in the grand scheme of things. Take a couple more of your calls. Who you got for me, Dub?
We got CB in Pasadena.
CB in Pasadena. What's up, CB?
All right. Thank you for your call, screener. And first of all, my condolences go out to George W.H. Bush, and his family. It was a beautiful funeral, our 41st president.
Hold on. The president funeral was like a month ago. I appreciate you giving condolences. I'm sure his family really appreciates getting the condolences this morning. But that funeral was like a month ago, right? You've been in a cryogenic chamber since then?
It's been about 3 weeks. But, I just have to give my condolences out. And then I have to give my condolences out to the Rams. This is where I was going with that. That's my segue.
It's a bad segue.
Go out to the other place. Yeah, and then the poor Rams, 13-3. Yeah, it was a dull kind of game. It was a good defensive game. I didn't see any electricity out of the Rams.
Yeah, all right, we got to hang up on CB. This is a bad call. When you start off, you're trying to make your point. You're like, hey, I got to give condolences to the Bush family so you can make a condolence to the Rams. That's a bad open, my man. Former president's been dead for nearly a month. That's a rough reach. It's a bad reach. I got to cut you off. Not a good argument to be made. I can't trust your opinion after that bad of an open. Anybody else still waiting online, Dub?
Yeah, we got Tommy down in Florida.
Tommy, please don't start off with condolences for former presidents.
That was a bad call. Now, here's the point I'm going to make about what you're saying with the whole Michael Jordan thing. I think you're actually selling Brady a little bit short. The greatest thing that he's done, in my opinion, is the distance between wins.
Strong argument. Yep, strong argument here.
The guy that you should be comparing him to is actually Jack Nicklaus. Nicklaus won his first major in 62 and his last one in 86. That's 24 years. Brady won his first title in, 01? And now that's 18-year difference. Bradshaw. Bradshaw won, they're all in, 6 years. Jordan's, 8 years. Kobe's, 6 or 7 years. That's the most impressive thing because Brady's playing with players that some of them were in elementary school when he was winning. It's incredible.
That's a strong argument. That's a good call. That's a very good call. The longevity of Brady's dominance in a sport where longevity is rare, I think definitely helps him a tremendous amount in our GOAT status debate. Because most truly extraordinary athletes have a peak window of 6 to 8 years where they are the best in the world at what they do, and then that peak window kind of disappears. That's an argument, by the way, in favor of LeBron, too, that he's had such a long stretch of dominance. But the difference is, in Brady's sport, every single snap, people are trying to injure you substantially. Jack Nicklaus, 24 years between major wins, is a good one, but nobody's lining up to hit Jack Nicklaus when he's trying to make a putt. Brady has been getting hit by the biggest, strongest, most physical, baddest men on the planet for nearly 20 years, and he's still showing up, hanging in the pocket, and making the throws that are necessary to win championships. And by the way, I think he's going to be back and extend that reign of dominance even longer. I used to be a Tom Brady hater. I've shifted into first grudging admiration. Now to the point where I just think you have to appreciate greatness. And it's possible that Tom Brady is the greatest team athlete, individual player in a team sport of all time. I don't think that's an outlandish comment at all. I would say that Brady's 6 championships are more important and impressive than Michael Jordan's 6 championships. And I think Brady versus Jordan has definitely passed Jordan versus LeBron as by far the most interesting greatest of all time debate. I just tweeted this out, but we've got nearly 45,000 of you have voted. Who is the GOAT, Tom Brady or Michael Jordan? And it's a dead heat after 44,000 votes on my Twitter page. 50% of you saying Tom Brady, 50% of you saying Michael Jordan.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
I just tweeted out a story that I just want to hit this off the top here. We're obviously breaking down Jordan versus Tom Brady now that both men have got six championships. But CNN just tweeted out a story. This is a real story. Why are Adam Levine's nipples fine for air, but 2004's wardrobe malfunction made Janet Jackson a pariah for years? That's the question some fans are asking after the Super Bowl. Well, I think an easy answer would be there aren't billion-dollar companies built around the idea of seeing men topless. Because I'll tell you this right now. If somebody wants to pay me to pose topless in any magazine, especially pay me a lot of money, I'll be happy to do it. Now, I thought the Janet Jackson nipplegate back in 2004 was an overreaction. But the idea that a man shirtless is the same thing as a woman shirtless, it's kind of a big difference. Kind of a big difference there, right? Men will spend their entire lives trying to see as many women topless as they can, right? Women don't care at all about seeing men topless. Maybe I'm wrong in this. Maybe the male nipple needs to be protected. We need some pasties everywhere we go. But the answer is because men desperately want to see women topless, and women don't really care that much about seeing men topless. The answer is go to any pool in America and see what the reaction is if a woman walks around topless compared to a man walking around topless. God bless CNN. That is incredible. But we are breaking down Super Bowl 53. Halftime show I didn't think was very good. Commercials I thought were awful. Everybody's trying to be so woke in the commercials, nobody tries to be funny anymore. It's like, just sell me your product, all right? Entertain me, make me laugh. I thought the best commercial, I thought there were a couple of decent commercials. I thought the commercial for Stella, which featured the dude and Carrie from Sex and the City, I thought that was pretty good in character there. I thought that was really outstanding. I thought the Bud Light ad, which also intersected with Game of Thrones. Y'all know I'm obsessed with Game of Thrones. Love that show. I thought that was pretty good. But but in general, I didn't think the commercials were very good. I thought the NFL 100 year anniversary or whatever, where all the players were chasing around the football, I thought that was pretty outstanding. But in general, I didn't think the commercials were very good. I didn't think the game was very good. It's a defensive struggle, but it was a defensive struggle where you felt like, especially the Rams, left a lot of plays on the field. Jared Goff missed a lot of throws, and it was just an ugly performance overall. At the end, though, Tom Brady won, got the Super Bowl, gets to 6-3 all-time in the Super Bowl, and I think in the process created the next great sports debate that will be going on for the next decade or more, and that is going to be Tom Brady versus Michael Jordan, who is the greatest of all time. And that's our poll question up. Got nearly 50,000 votes in it right now. Dead heat. 50% Jordan, 50% for Tom Brady. Couple of stats that I think are worth breaking down. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick now have 30 combined playoff wins. The next closest combined number of playoff wins for a coach and quarterback is 14. Over the course of his Super Bowl run, Tom Brady now has covered 18 years. Caller earlier pointed out Jack Nicklaus went 24 years between major wins. That kind of gives you a sense for how long Brady has been at the top of his game. Julian Edelman, really the only weapon that the Patriots had in the passing game. Everybody else was blanketed. Julian Edelman, 10 catches, 140 yards. He was your MVP. Obviously, he also got suspended for PEDs before the season started. For the people out there who believe the Patriots are eternal cheaters, that's more evidence for you. Second best receiver, Cordarrelle Patterson, only had 2 catches for less than 20 yards. Obviously, Rob Gronkowski made a big-time play late. He was the second leading receiver for the New England Patriots. We'll see whether or not Gronk is going to end up retiring. I got to apologize to the Patriots. I didn't believe in them. I think this is probably the worst team since the first team to win the title for the Patriots to win the Super Bowl. But that's a credit to Brady and Belichick. They got here. They got the win over the Chargers. They got the win over the Chiefs. And they got the win over the Rams. I think that this Patriot team, not very good, relative to the standard set by other Patriot teams. But you know what? The 18-0 Patriot team was the best ever. They lost to Eli Manning and the Giants. And the team that also lost to the Giants again and the team that lost to the Eagles, I think all three of those Patriot team that lost in the Super Bowl were better than this one. But you remembered for the games that you win, and the Patriots found a way to get it done. I want to bring in the crew. I would say this also as my number one takeaway. I think we got cheated out of Drew Brees versus Tom Brady, and I'm going to think this for a very long time to come. I don't believe that Drew Brees would have been anywhere near as confused as Jared Goff was in this game. Drew Brees and the Saints may have lost, but Drew Brees was not going to look like a deer in the headlights like Jared Goff often did. I think Drew Brees would have made a lot more plays. I think he would have been prepared for what he saw on the defensive side of the ball because he's played a lot longer. I thought that Jared Goff and Sean McVay got exposed. And there's a lot of people out there that are going to say, well, Jared Goff is young. He'll probably come back and win another Super Bowl. I would just say this. It's rare for a guy to lose in the Super Bowl and then come back and win one. Most guys win their first Super Bowl if they are going to. Whether it's Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Brett Favre. You run through that list, Aaron Rodgers, everybody who has won a Super Bowl since all the way back to John Elway has won the first time they have gotten there, or they've never won one. Elway is the last only quarterback in the last 30 years of the NFL to lose in the Super Bowl and come back the first time he goes and come back and win it. I don't know whether it's the pressure like a Cam Newton or a Matt Ryan feels when they lose one of these Super Bowls, but it seems like there's a big hangover, whether it's Dan Marino, Boomer Esiason, Jim Kelly, Neil O'Donnell, Drew Bledsoe, Steve McNair, Kerry Collins, like I said, Cam Newton, Matt Ryan. If you lose the first time you go to the Super Bowl, odds are you're not going to get back and ever win again. And that's unfortunate, and it hangs over everybody's head. And it stinks, but the odds are against Jared Goff ever winning a Super Bowl now. They just are. It's hard to get there. And again, the only guy in the last 30 years who has gotten to the Super Bowl, lost the first time he went there, and then come back to win a Super Bowl is John Elway. Takes a lot of mental toughness to pull it off. Let me bring in the crew. Danny G, what stood out to you the most about this game?
I think the most frustrating part of the game to me was that the field never seemed to open up. The spacing, obviously, so tight in the game until the Patriots scored their late touchdown. Gilmore was all over the Rams receivers, and even Tracy Wolfson was swallowed up, almost dying.
Yeah, in the post game.
Yeah, that was great when she was trying to speak with Tom Brady. I felt claustrophobic, kind of like I was on the airplane to Atlanta all over again with a large woman sitting next to me on the plane. So that's the thing. I was just waiting. Come on, let's open it. I thought in the second half there would be a lot more scoring, and it just never happened. Also, obviously, you're talking commercials. I agree with you on Marshawn Lynch with his piece of cake. Bud Light versus the Game of Thrones commercial was tremendous. I also think Jason Bateman's elevator car shopping commercial, a little underrated. That one stood out to me. And as far as halftime, why was it not just an Outcast show at halftime? I think East Point and College Park should have been the focal point of the show. Where was Andre 3000 when we really needed him?
I don't know if he refused to be on, but I wonder whether Outcast would have been able to reunite there.
I know, because I know he kind of has been doing the acting thing, but Adam Levine taking his shirt off and being squirmy on stage, he seemed like a broke Freddie Mercury to me. It was just awkward.
Yeah, I really think he doesn't have moves like
Jagger.
Yeah. I think the answer is no, you don't have moves like Jagger. It would have been cool if they could have gotten Mick Jagger to come out, and when they did, moves like Jagger.
Now, but I got to ask you really quick, because you picked the Rams to win, and now you're saying that you wish the Saints were in the game. But really, we're just two Brandon Cooks key plays away from the Rams having a big shot in that game. I mean, that drop touchdown pass at the end of the game, that was death to the Rams. And obviously earlier, Goff was late on that throw to the back of the end zone. So had the Rams squeaked out a win, would you still feel like you got ripped off not having the Saints in the game?
No, I mean, I think that if they had made a couple of big plays, things would feel differently, but they didn't do
it. Even if they played bad, because you're talking Brady, the GOAT versus Jordan. Well, Brady didn't play good last night either.
Yeah, but he played phenomenally last year, and they lost. I mean, that's how Super Bowls work. That's why it's so hard to win them, is sometimes the quarterback can go out and be phenomenal. Brady was, I think, the greatest passing performance in the history of the Super Bowl last year, if I'm not mistaken, and his defense couldn't stop him at all. And so, as a result, he ended up losing. What was the final score last year? 40-32. So,
but I mean, that's you're comparing team sports. I mean, I couldn't imagine Jordan ever losing to a Nick Foles team. You might say, well, you can't compare the two sports. Well, exactly. So this entire debate is very difficult, because how do you compare two different sports?
Well, easily, because we do it all the time.
We do it all the time, but it doesn't always make the most sense.
You can't compare eras either, and yet we sit around all the time.
No, that bugs me when people try to debate eras.
To me, infinitely better discussion and debate is Jordan versus Brady now.
Instead of LeBron. Well, I'll give you that. I agree with you there. But I just don't know if you have 30 years of this on the radio.
Oh, I'm going to do it for the next 30 years. Yeah.
Roberto, definitely. Turn his microphone
off. I'm
going
to make $10 million a year debating Jordan versus Brady, like Skip Bayless does, doing Jordan versus LeBron. What else stood out to you, Dub? What stood out to you in particular from the Super Bowl?
It was kind of a win for the old-timers. You got the old defensive-minded coaches and Wade Phillips and Bill Belichick absolutely dominating their side of the ball. I mean, holding this Rams team to 3 points, it's got to be the greatest performance from Bill Belichick that I've seen.
Yeah, and it's a bounce-back performance for Bill Belichick, because last year the discussion was about Malcolm Butler and why he wasn't in the game and why they couldn't get a stop against Nick Foles and how the evolution of the game had totally changed. And then you get Jared Goff just shut down completely. I said earlier in the show, if you had told Sean McVay that they were going to hold the Patriots to 13 points, I think he would have put, like, multiple fingers on the line, right? Like, you can chop my fingers off if we're not going to score 13 points and lose. Has to kind of sicken Sean McVay. It's one thing to lose, but if they had gone out and they had lost 35-31, I think he'd be like, okay, you know, like, they just had a little bit more playmaking at the end. And in a season where he won a game 54-51, to lose 3-0, basically to lose 13-3 and get held to 3 points, has to really kind of stick with him. What about you, Roberto? What stands out?
Well, when the Rams were winning, everybody wanted the next Sean McVay. Everybody said how great McVay was and how Goff is just along for the ride. But now that the Rams lost, it seems like more of the blame seems to be on Goff. But McVay is supposed to be the boy wonder, the boy genius, and it seemed like he didn't drew up enough explosive plays for the Rams to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think he drew up the plays. I think they just didn't get executed. I mean, I'm sure when they go back and look at the film, there's a lot of opportunities to make plays out there that Jared Goff just didn't make. He's a young quarterback. I think the moment was too big for him. I still think there's something going on with Todd Gurley, and we haven't spent a lot of time talking about
this. Yeah, that was the other one, Todd Gurley, yeah.
He only got 10 carries for 35 yards. If you've got a young quarterback, why wouldn't you rely on C.J. Anderson and Todd Gurley? I don't understand what happened with Gurley in this playoffs in general. Something is wrong with him. You can't tell me the guy who scored 23 touchdowns, gets 10 carries, maybe a couple of catches, isn't even a part of the offensive game plan. I need to know what happened with Todd Gurley that made this completely made him turn into an afterthought. I mean, he should have been the workhorse back in my mind, and there has to be an injury. There has to be some sort of a pitch count that he was on based on that injury, and just nobody wants to admit it. Even signing C.J. Anderson and using him as much as they have, it doesn't make sense to me that Todd Gurley doesn't get those carries in the Super Bowl with everything on the line, and also in the Super Bowl with everything on the line in a game where it's not like the Rams were down and you had to go to the passing game. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all. All right, when we come back, we'll talk with Alex Marvez. He's set to join us breaking down Super Bowl 53 in the final segment of the show. We have got, let's go ahead and play this. Do you have this queued up, Danny G? I want to let people start thinking about this. So I am on a television show called Lock It In. And as part of Lock It In, we make gambling picks on the show. And I made a huge bet on the Super Bowl based on whether or not they would mention the age difference between Jared Goff and Tom Brady during the game, okay? And during the game, They put up the pictures of the guys. They did the 17-year challenge. It's been 17 years since Tom Brady won his Super Bowl. And they put up the pictures, and this is what it sounded like.
And let's do the 17-year challenge.
Well, you see, 17 years ago, Tom Brady looked older, I think. Sean McVay looked like he was in kindergarten. And Jared Goff was in kindergarten.
He was.
Jared Goff was in kindergarten, all right? And they put up the pictures of both those guys. I actually want to poll the crew right here. Do you guys think, or actually, I'll ask you really quickly now. Now, let's save it. I'll poll you guys. So they said Jared Goff was in kindergarten. They haven't paid out this prop bet yet. Should that count as mentioning the age difference? To me, there is no argument that should. If they pay it out, then I win the week on Lock It In and I Am the King. If they don't pay it out, then I lost. And we're waiting to see whether or not that is going to count.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
Go ahead and bring in Alex Marvez. Your number one takeaway was?
A Patriots defense. How amazing, right? I mean, 27 of 60 plays that the Los Angeles Rams ran went for negative or 0 yards. Half of what was the 11th most prolific scoring offense in NFL history during the regular season, half of their plays went nowhere or backwards. And we could talk about how bad Jared Goff was, that Todd Gurley's not the same guy, the offensive line looked terrible, yada, yada, yada. All of that is a discredit to what the New England Patriots did on defense. They were absolutely fantastic. I mean, did the Rams string together more than two good plays? I mean, how many times, right, Clay? I mean, that was just, it was a brilliant performance and an incredible send-off for Brian Flores. Even though, if you watch the broadcast, you may not know who he is since Tony Romo and Jim Nance decided to ignore him. But gosh, I mean, he was absolutely awesome working with Belichick for this game plan. And if you're a Miami Dolphins fan, well, you feel a little bit better today that this guy's going to become your head coach.
Nah, I understand that argument, but we've seen this an awful lot of times where Belichick's assistants have left and been awful, whether it's Matt Patricia, Romeo Crennel, Charlie Weiss, Mangini. Like, you just basically run through the list, Josh McDaniels. Belichick is a great coach who creates an opportunity for everybody to excel. I understand the reason for optimism anytime you hire a new coach. I just haven't seen anybody leave the Belichick coaching tree and me think, wow, this guy's unbelievable. I mean, Bill O'Brien is the most successful coach to ever leave the Belichick coaching tree, if you don't want to count Nick Saban going all the way back. But since he's been at the Patriots, and I don't think a lot of people in Houston are like, oh, Bill O'Brien's the greatest coach of all time, but he's by far the most successful. So I understand the reason for that, but I'm not willing to be that excited if I'm a Dolphins fan over this hire because of this game. Having said that, if Sean McVay had known that his team, Wade Phillips, was going to hold that team in the Patriots to 13 points, how confident do you think he would have been that he was going to win?
Of course, he's 100% confident, Clay. I mean, seriously, you know, I mean, 13 points, your offense, again, 527 points scored during the regular season. I mean, and you put up 30 on the road, I guess it was, against New Orleans, and 27 or so, 26 against the Cowboys. I mean, they were scoring points. They were finding ways to get it done. They made adjustments during games. They never found an answer to what it was that the Patriots are doing on defense. And listen, Austin Blythe and John Sullivan, the center and right guard, they were pretty miserable, right? The right side of that offensive line was horrendous, and the Patriots were smart. That is where they attacked, right? Because Andrew Whitworth is still pretty darn good at left tackle. Roger Saffold, really good at left guard. The way that they attacked this team was the right side of the offensive line. I would imagine some major upgrades that Rams have to look at having there to give a little bit more protection, particularly at center. John Sullivan's an older player. He's in his 30s. But, no, they did a great job. And, listen, veteran secondary as well. And what's crazy was when they lost Patrick Chung, they didn't skip a beat. I mean, the guy broke his forearm. He's a really good safety. But, you know, when he got hurt, it didn't count. It didn't work against them. I mean, just so well coached. I mean, they were really good. I mean, they were really, really good last night.
All right. Jared Goff was not really, really good. In fact, he was the opposite. These are the guys who have lost in the Super Bowl since basically 1980. Marino, some of the guys. Marino, Dan Marino, Boomer Esiason, Jim Kelly, Neil O'Donnell, Drew Bledsoe, Steve McNair, Kerry Collins, Cam Newton, Matt Ryan among them. The only player in the last 40 years to lose his first Super Bowl and come back to win a later Super Bowl is John Elway. If you were betting right now, do you believe Jared Goff will come back and win a Super Bowl one day?
I will, because I'll tell you this. I mean, think about the odds. He's 24 years old. So you figure that the guy's got at least 10 more seasons as an NFL starter, right? And I think the Rams are a pretty well-run organization now, and I think Sean McVay will learn from this experience, and they will continue to get better. Goff, though, has to continue to get better, right? And, it was weird because the game wasn't too big for him when we look at what happened against the Saints, right? The guy let it come back. He was fantastic. But you just felt maybe the Super Bowl, it was a little bit too big for him. You know, you saw that pass at the end intercepted by Stephon Gilmore. Terrible form. His technique fell apart as the game went on. And that's something, okay, is that the Patriots' defense? Is that a symptom of feeling the pressure of being in a Super Bowl? I mean, those things are significant. But again, I think with the supporting cast that they have and the type of coach Sean McVay is, that ultimately he will be back. And remember this, too. It isn't like a Matt Ryan where you lose Kyle Shanahan and the offense takes seven steps back, right? In this case, you know Sean McVay is going to continue to be the play caller and is going to continue to work with him. How do the great quarterbacks in the NFL develop? They keep continuity when it comes to their coaches. You're going to have that continuity with Sean McVay and Jared Goff. That's why I feel pretty good about the young man learning from this and getting back at some point.
We're talking to Alex Marvez at Alex Marvez on Twitter. Why was Todd Gurley not more featured?
You know, the word was behind the scenes that his knee just isn't right. You know, he'll dispute that and deny that, and the Rams will dispute that and deny that. We'll find out if there's a surgery in the offing somewhere. What's happened is that Gurley's become a little bit of a, I don't say a one-trick pony, but teams don't respect him running between the tackles. What they've been doing is popping in C.J. Anderson. He's been the guy that runs between the tackles. And, you know, he did go out for one pass last night, C.J., and got open. But I tell you, with Gurley, they just couldn't get him on track on the outside. The Patriots did such a great job covering the perimeter, keeping him in between and just not making sure he couldn't get out there. He was rendered pretty ineffective. And listen, I was a little bit surprised that he got the all-pro nod, considering that he didn't play the final couple weeks of the season. What a great year Ezekiel Elliott had. You could even make an argument for Saquon Barkley. But you talk about guys a little bit on the hot seat to produce coming into 2019 season. I think Todd Gurley's going to be one of them. I mean, have we seen the best of this guy? I hate to judge based upon two games, especially if we find out he was injured, and that might be the reason. But other than that, play, really disappointing end to what had been a fantastic year for him.
Do you think Rob Gronkowski retires?
Yeah, talking to him before the game, he just seemed so happy with what he was doing. I think there have to be a couple things here, though. Are the Patriots going to adjust his salary? Are they going to let Gronk be Gronk in the offseason? Those types of things. I think that's a huge consideration for him. And will they guarantee that they're not going to trade him this year? I mean, all of those things go into it. You know the Patriot way. As soon as you show any signs of being vulnerable physically on a decline, usually they get rid of you, right? Now, maybe there are special Gronk rules because of his relationship with Tom Brady. And the guy's still a fantastic blocker. And he did have juice last night. He was beating those linebackers, for the Rams in one-on-one coverage. And, but again, you're counting on this guy being healthy for an entire season. And that's just really a lot to ask from Gronk. So the question is, if he does want to keep playing, will it be under the scenario where the Patriots are accepting of the things that he's going to want? Because as he said, he is not going to play for another organization. He is only going to play for the New England Patriots. Remember, he threatened to retire last year after the Detroit Lions, tried to make a trade for him, and he said that's not happening. So a lot of things in play here with Gronk. It's either the Patriots or nothing, I will tell you that.
We're talking to Alex Marvez. He's at the airport leaving Atlanta right after Super Bowl 53 last night. Brady now has six Super Bowls. Michael Jordan won six NBA championships. Whose six was more impressive in your mind?
Jordan, because you play more games, the other thing too, I mean, the Brady Super Bowls, they always come down to the wire, right? I believe this is their largest margin of victory that they've had based upon a really good defense. I just think, Jordan, having to play just more games, you know what I mean? That's what we're looking at here, being even more consistent over a longer period of time. It is so hard to mix sports and evaluate who does what. But you could say, well, the level that Tom Brady is playing at the age of 41 dictates that he's great. It's just Michael Jordan obviously wasn't the same guy, as he got into his late 30s. And I understand that. But I just think Jordan was the greatest player on the planet in his sport. One can argue that Tom Brady's not the best quarterback in his sport, nor has been for a couple of years. So, and even some years when he was in his prime, you always heard more about Aaron Rodgers, sometimes Peyton Manning, et cetera. So, no, I got to go with Jordan.
This is pretty intriguing. You mentioned the Tom Brady stat. I mean, this one's wild for everybody waking up out there. Brady's won six Super Bowls. He's led a game-winning drive in the fourth quarter or overtime in every single one of those. And I know there's a lot of talk about the Patriots dynasty and everything else. Tom Brady, I think the stat is worth hitting. Tom Brady was drafted in sixth round, 199th overall, and his signing bonus was $38,400. Julian Edelman, who got the MVP last night, drafted as the 27th pick in the seventh round. That's barely getting into the draft at all. 232nd overall in 2009. He wins the MVP. The Patriots have done an incredible job finding value where others have not in order to maintain this dynastic run. I think Edelman's story is not as well known. Him being a seventh-round pick and leading to where he is now, now a Super Bowl MVP and potentially a future Hall of Famer, depending on how he finishes out the season, is pretty phenomenal, isn't it?
It's pretty great. I think future Hall of Famer is quite the reach, to be quite honest with you. As a Hall of Fame voter, I'd be surprised if he gets in the final 15 at any point. I know he had a great Super Bowl. I also know he was a PED violation and missed the first four games. And it is interesting that the NFL, they disqualify players from making the Pro Bowl if you have a PED violation, but apparently you can still win Super Bowl MVP in the same season. I wonder if that's something that the league would look at if they want to try to continue to put teeth into their drug testing policy. So that, all that being said, he's a fantastic slot receiver. He's the guy who picks up all the underneath stuff. He's Wes Welker, except better than Wes Welker, more reliable than Wes Welker was. He's just a better player, and he's perfect for this system. You see, the Patriots were ahead of the curve. Remember when they signed Julian Edelman, teams weren't looking too much for shifty slot guys like him. They identified a player who had certain physical talents and attributes and a mindset of a guy who's simply going to outwork everybody to get to where he is, whether that's through PEDs or not. That's another story altogether, and that's on his resume. You know, just like Tom Brady deflating footballs. I mean, all these things are there on the public record. But, you know, incredible game last night. And look, the guy doesn't drop passes. That's the thing about it. He's so reliable. I mean, we're going to always think back to Super Bowl 46, right? And Wes Welker dropping that pass. That's part of his legacy. Julian Edelman doesn't do that. You know, I mean, he's to excel at what he does. And kudos to him. And again, perfect system for him as well, playing like he does in New England.
Did you feel cheated ultimately that this was not the Saints on the field? And do you agree with me that there's no way Drew Brees would have looked as out of sorts, deer in a headlights-esque as Jared Goff did at times if the Saints had been there?
Correct. I think that, you know, Drew might, with his experience, probably wouldn't have been able to adjust better. I think because he's just at that point in his career where he can recognize more things, and I think Jared Goff is getting there. Remember, there were seven number one overall picks that had previously won Super Bowls, and Jared would have been the eighth, and he would have been by far the youngest. I mean, sometimes, look, it's not always Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, guys who immediately win these types of games, you know, early on in their career when they're carried by their teams. You know, sometimes it takes several years to get going, but I think then Drew Brees has that type of experience. I also wonder, too, did Sean McVay's decision not to prepare for the crowd noise? He didn't really play much this week. Did that have any effect on it as well? Because it seemed a lot of times that Rams offense was really hurried to try to you know, run a play.
Some people might be listening to us right now who are headed to the Atlanta airport. How would you assess the overall Atlanta airport scene the day after the Super Bowl?
Probably the fifth layer of hell, you know, but I mean, and it's long. I'm about to get the security guys. So I'm going to have to hang up here in a second. But I mean, look, it's definitely, if you have a 6 o'clock flight, leave now to the airport. You know what I'm saying? That type of thing. And it's just, but again, it's a lot of folks getting out of here. You know, good week by Atlanta. I've been to Super Bowl cities. Everything was convenient. It was downtown. You know, they did a solid job. I mean, beautiful stadium. Everyone loved it. And by the way, those concession prices were amazing. $2 hot dogs, $5 beers. I mean, it was very cool of Arthur Blank and the Falcons to keep the regular season pricing for the Super Bowl.
Outstanding stuff as always, Alex Marvez. Good luck with the travel home. We'll talk to you next week probably. That is Alex Marvez at Alex Marvez on Twitter.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis. Weeknights at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.